Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization, and continuing to make our way through this important season of the church year, the season of Lent, this penitential season. It's always important, but I just feel like it's so important in particular right now with the struggles within the broader culture, struggles and challenges within the church itself, spiritual confusion, need for discernment and clarity. And so the disciplines of Lent are particularly helpful in leading us to yield ourselves and to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit, because we know this season and the whole spiritual journey is a work of God in us. It's not something that we just kind of roll up our sleeves and get after and produce on our own strength and resources, that it's always a cooperation with the grace of God that's at work in us. And so the church leads us in this time in her wisdom, and taking on these disciplines of Lent, you know, fasting, almsgiving, added prayer, more frequent church attendance, praying the rosary, alms, whatever it is that you particularly feel led to do, all these things help align us and put us kind of before the Lord in an attentive, watchful, receptive posture. Because we know this season is meant to be filled with a kind of urgency, helping us get perspective again of who we are, who God is, who we are, what life on earth is all about. Grab hold again of an eternal perspective that life is really short. It's going to be over before you know it. And that we have in our future some certainties. We're going to die. We're all going to die. As I mentioned last week on the program as well, we're all going to die. And then we have a meeting in our future. As soon as we die, we're going to appear before the Lord. And so the entire point of our life, and this is where the church with love and a kind of tender compassion of a mother patiently but firmly is calling us to take a look at the end, to lay hold again of that eternal perspective and let the deeper things that need purification happen in our lives so that we can bear fruit, the kind of thing Jesus said, you know, that the Father has called us to bear fruit. And it's important that we bear fruit of the kingdom. And that doesn't just happen automatically, but it happens by abiding in Christ and walking with him. And so to help us lay hold of the sober quality of this season, we periodically get some of the parables of Jesus given to us at Mass and daily readings or in the Liturgy of the Hours, especially those that Jesus gave toward the end of his ministry, just prior to his passion at the Last Supper. You know, he talked about in chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel, for example, the parable of the wise and the foolish servants, maidens, the judgment of the nations. There's the faithful and unfaithful servant, the necessity of being watchful. These are just topic titles from those chapters leading right up to the passion. And so Jesus is communicating to the apostles and communicating to us as a result the importance of readiness and being able to lay hold of with greater clarity what's at stake, because the stakes are really quite high. And Jesus emphasizes the eternal consequences of responding or not responding to the serious call that he makes on our lives. I think sometimes we hesitate in the preaching of the church to talk about how often Jesus does talk about eternal consequences, because he does it quite a bit, especially in Matthew's gospel. There's somewhere between 45 and 55 different references in which Jesus directly talks about eternal consequences, or at least indirectly talks about them. So it's an important part of Jesus' teaching. Jesus warns us quite often about how serious life is and that the two ways, right? The broad way and the narrow way, the way to the kingdom, the way to hell, really, is what he talks about. He's not afraid to talk about it. Jesus talks about that more than almost anybody does. And I think in this season, it's important for us to be able to reflect on some of these things as well, you know, the last judgment for our lives, the Lord's return, because it's meant to give us a healthy fear of God. It's meant to give us the right perspective of what really matters and where this is all going. And so I thought it'd be helpful to maybe take up some of the paragraphs in the Catechism that talk about, from the Creed, that talk about Jesus' return in life. So I want to begin today with paragraph 1020. This is from Article 12, I Believe in Life Everlasting, from the Creed. It says, the Christian who unites his own death to that of Jesus views it as a step towards him and an entrance into everlasting life. When the church for the last time speaks Christ's words of pardon and absolution over the dying Christian, seals him for the last time with a strengthening anointing, and gives him Christ in viaticum as nourishment for the journey, she speaks with gentle assurance. And so there's a prayer here from that last rites ceremony that the church has. Says, go forth, Christian soul, from this world. In the name of God, the Almighty Father, who created you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who suffered for you, in the name of the Holy Spirit, who was poured out upon you, go forth, faithful Christian. May you live in the peace of this day. May your home be with God in Zion, with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with Joseph, with all the angels and saints. May you return to your Creator who formed you from the dust of the earth. May Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints come to meet you as you go forth from this life. May you see your Redeemer face to face. The church then prays really on behalf of this person as they're passing from death to life. And the perspective and the prayer orients us to the end things and the things that matter most and what our destiny ultimately is. And getting ready for this moment is the most important thing we can do. And really, Lent is a season in which we remember the imminence of that moment. We don't really know. None of us knows when we're going to die. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen 50 years from now. But we're meant to live with our lamps burning, as the parables of Jesus talked about, in a posture of being watchful, readiness, being alert, and living in such a way with a vigilance, knowing the importance of how Christ has called us to walk out our faith in him in this life. And so 1021 paragraph under the particular judgment, the Catechism talks about, says, death puts an end to human life as the time open to either accepting or rejecting the divine grace manifested in Christ. So part of having a renewed mind in the church and grasping the significance of the mission, the great commission that the Lord has given us to go make disciples of all nations, is to understand this simple, profound truth. I want to read it again. Death puts an end to human life as the time open to either accepting or rejecting the divine grace manifested in Christ. This is the definition, friends, of what's most important, the most important choice anybody on earth can make with their life, and implies what's really at stake. God is offering his grace of salvation through his beloved Son to every human being. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but have everlasting life. The church lives in a constant state of mission, living out in her own life, a witness to the importance and centrality of making this decision. What does it look like in this life when somebody accepts Christ, when a community of people have been baptized into Christ and they're living an alternative way of life? What does it look like? And we're meant to be light and salt so that people can see the importance of making this decision, of coming to terms with God and coming to terms with his offer of salvation in the person of Jesus. The paragraph continues, 1021. The New Testament speaks of judgment primarily in its aspect of the final encounter with Christ in his second coming, but also repeatedly affirms that each will be rewarded immediately after death in accordance with his works and faith. The parable of the poor man Lazarus and the words of Christ on the cross to the good thief, as well as other New Testament texts, speak of a final destiny for the soul, a destiny which can be different for some than for others. Do you remember the thief, one on Jesus' right, one on his left? The good thief humbly cries out, asks Jesus for help, and Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And you have right there for all of human history to see Jesus at the center, and two sinful men, one at his right and one at his left, and one humbled himself and cried out to Christ, the other berated him. And you see in those two the destinies of the human race. There are two destinies. And it's ironic with the clarity the church is teaching, especially in this season. We have, again, surfacing, you know, in the history of the church, certain voices, theologians, church leaders, and others, underlining this idea of universal salvation, that everybody is saved, this kind of decisive two ways, that there really is a heaven, there really is a hell, and people really do go to both places, that it's being challenged again in our time, because certain theologians are of the mind that somehow it's below the dignity of God to have a place like hell, that people could possibly go there. And people turning their back and saying, well, if there is a hell and people go there, I can't believe in a God like that, and they walk away. And so the human mind in its pride puts God in the dock and judges God in a certain way unworthy of belief if he's going to hold to this doctrine of the reality of hell, which the church teaches, and we'll see that this week as we go through it and just reflect on the teaching of the catechism. Paragraph 1022, each man receives his eternal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death, in a particular judgment that refers his life to Christ, either entrance into the blessedness of heaven through a purification, or immediately, or immediate and everlasting damnation. Paragraph 1022. It's very clear. Let me read it again. Each man receives his eternal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death. This is such an important reflection. I mean, just take this paragraph. It's just one long sentence. To sit down before the Blessed Sacrament or in a quiet place in your prayer and just read it and say, Holy Spirit, help me understand the weight and the reality of my life here and my ultimate destiny and the choice that's before me and what that choice lived out rightly looks like. Each man receives his eternal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death in a particular judgment that refers his life to Christ, either entrance into the blessedness of heaven through a purification, meaning purgatory, or immediately, like the saints die or martyrs die, they immediately go before the throne of God, or immediate and everlasting damnation. At the evening of life, we shall be judged on our love. Did we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? We did love our neighbor as ourselves. Did we walk in obedience? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's not just a sentiment. It's not just a thought to occasionally throw in God's direction. But it's a response of the whole person through the grace of God, through the mercy of God at work in us. First, God's total grace, just offering us salvation as an opportunity to have our sins forgiven, to be born again by water and the Spirit's a miracle. That's a work of God. But the question is that faith that allowed us by God's help to say yes to God's offer of salvation, did we live it out in love? Faith expressing itself in love is Christianity. And Jesus was clear about what love looks like. And Jesus warned us again and again about the ultimate destinies that are before us, because he knows it, how real it is, and how important it is for us each day to remember who we are, where we're going, and yield to the grace and the mercy of God, who will lead us home if we let him. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.